That's funny, eh? Amen. Well, let's give a warm hand to Pastor as he comes with the Word of God.
How come we always say, where did they get that from? Praise the Lord. Anyway, suddenly got quiet with the kids. Well, turn in your Bibles with me this evening. We're going to have a good look at the scriptures. Wow. Hopefully you got some. I've given my partners back there some scriptures about, our lesson number 6, I believe it is, on fear. Why don't we stand one more time and pray? And let's put our faith together. Not just our faith alone, but our faith together. We'll do more than just you alone. How many people know that you can join forces with someone? Let's join our hearts, knit our hearts together, and be in agreement about this service. Will be a supernatural encounter. And God will visit you and the Spirit, and that you'll see things that you perhaps looked at before but never saw. You know, somebody says you can't see the tree from the forest. And so we have to make a distinction in different things that we see. Father, in Jesus' name, we do acknowledge your word comes first place. And so we thank you. It's medicine to all our spirit, soul, and body. And so, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. You are God, the ever-present God, right here. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to operate by the gifts to do what you need to do in this room and to set people free, to open our hearts up. We ask that our hearts would be opened up and lifted up above the things that would cause pain and hurt, and those things that seemingly are unsolvable. You are the God of all creation. You know how we are knitted together in the mother's womb. You said in the Psalms 137, I believe it is, or somewhere there. You said you know everything intricate part of our lives, every chemistry in our brain, in our veins and nerve cells and everything else. You knit us together. Put us together. You put our spirit together. You put our personality together before we were born. And you told us to dominate, to go out there and be the individual that you've designed us to be. And so, Father, we want to do that. We want to please you. We want to hear you say, you're good and faithful servant. And so, Father, we yield to you. We submit to the Word of God. We submit for this next few minutes that we're going to talk about the Word. And we say, Lord, show us, help us to know where we need help. Help us to prepare for the future and help us to work with others and to not to be afraid of one another. Thank you, Lord, for this church and for what it stands for. So we thank you for all the needs to be met. We're not afraid of anything. We say what the psalmist says, I will fear no evil. Thank you. Thank you that no fear here. Thank you for filling everyone. And thank you for the miracle power of the Spirit, Father, that you've given us. We thank you in Jesus' name and help me to preach accurately without any kind of causing any disturbance in people's minds, but giving them the word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll talk to you for a few minutes face your fears. I did give a message back there, but the Lord gave me some words that that I want to speak a few minutes today. Face your fears. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I want to say You know, some things here that I think we need to say. And even with so much turmoil in this life, how many people know there is so much turmoil in the world, in the political world, the business world? You know, you could be rich today, tomorrow be poor. You know, what if everything stops and you try to go buy food down there? And when I was in Toronto a few years ago, there was everything shut down. All the power shut down. All New York, part of New York and all over Toronto shut down. All the, everything, gas stations didn't work. There was no food. Food is getting spoiled in a few hours. It was so hot that day. I was at a conference watching Brother Hagin. I was at the, we were at going to the, getting ready for our service at the Mississauga. We were in Pickering. I had to drive down the 401 to Mississauga. And everything shut down. I was on the treadmill and doing exercises before the service in my afternoon break. And everything shut down. All the lights shut down. I thought something was happening to my, you know, machine and just there. And then all of a sudden, you know, the place shut down. I said, what's going on? So I decided to go home and got in my car and was driving over. I noticed that everything stopped. The whole city shut down. Everything was dark after that. And I realized that we're so dependent upon certain things that we enjoy in life. And you couldn't travel very far if you didn't have that much gas, because you can't go very far. I couldn't come home. Restaurants closed. And for some people, fear starts to set in. You know, what would happen today if everything shut down in the north? I mean, you'd freeze maybe. I don't know. You'd have to start eating snow or something. I don't know. But there's so much fear in this world. And so even with so much turmoil around us, we can live a fearless life. A life that is free from the contamination of fear. How many people know that we're made of three parts? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 says that we're, first of all, spirit beings. We're, first of all, spirit beings. God created us, first and foremost, eternally a spiritual being. We possess a soul. And that soul consists of your thinking, your emotions, and your part of your will is involved in that. Your imaginations, that's all in the soulical part or the soul part of man. At the inception of being born again, when you were born again, something supernatural happened to your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we became new creation, at the new birth, we became brand new. Ezekiel prophesied that, and Jeremiah prophesied that God would give us a new spirit, a new heart. He didn't say he's going to give us a brand new mind or a new body, but he's going to give us, at the new birth experience, a brand new heart. That's why the moment you get saved, truly when a person gets born again, something magical, so to speak, supernatural change happens on the inside of you. Your spirit becomes brand new, and you begin, the first thing that you do, you love God and you love His church and you love people. The very first thing I enjoyed when I got saved, I began to love things I never loved before. I started to love people. I loved being around any kind of Christian, no matter if they're old, young, no matter what they look like, I just enjoyed being with them. That is the first fruit of the recreated born-again spirit, is that you love God's people. And I sometimes wonder when some people who, you know, they're saved, but they just, they're, you know, something happens. They, you know, you seem to not, you know, maybe they're tied up in something. You just love the Word of God. You read the Word and so on. So we're in that soul part of us, the soul of man, which is a part of your spirit as well, which is connected to your spirit, is on the inside of you. You can't see my mind. You could cut my brain open and see my brain. How many people know your mind is not your brain? Your mind is not your brain. I said your mind is not your brain. And there's something about, you know, you have to understand that, because people think, you know, your brain is your mind. No, your brain is your soul. Your soul will never die. You can shut off the brain and lose consciousness, but in the spiritual realm, if you died, you'd have consciousness. And your spirit is on the inside of you. It's eternal. If you died right now, you couldn't tell if you're dead or not. You'd be like, people said that to me, that they went out there and they couldn't even tell. They saw their body there. And you just go out into the spirit. But your body is so affected by your mind. Psychology, social scientists will tell you that your body can suffer from what they call psychosomatic illnesses, which is the disease that's caused by, negative thinking, basically. And the enemy will try to penetrate your mind and gives you thoughts of fear and cause you to have, if you start thinking bad things, you notice your heart begins to react. And then you can just sense that your emotions. It's all connected. We're connected. And God wants us to be free tonight from fear. I used to suffer from bad anxiety attacks. And the enemy still tries to come back. Hallelujah. But I'm able to fend them off only because of the Word of God. Only because of the Word of God. I'm able to fend off the enemy only because I know this. Not because I learned psychology. Not because I went to university. Not because I'm so smart. It's only because of this that I'm free today. I stake no claim in the fact that, my intelligence, although I'm very smart. I'm very, very smart. I'm very intelligent. But Jerry, don't try anything. Thank God. How many people are smart here? Smart Alex. They didn't ask for smart Alex. We're all intelligent. We're all intelligent here. All of us are. You are intelligent. You're beautiful. Like this one fellow, one of my class students came here. He's always comes, sometimes he shows up and he. I have a lot of students. In fact, we were at the, my wife and I went over to Sears last night and dropped in just to look if there's what the fuss is all about the Sears sales. Just didn't find any sales in there. Pastor Ken was in there. I found him there, rumbling around. He told me that there was more signs than there are sales. But we were looking at the watches because my wife bought me a watch. I took it back. Because it didn't work. Something happened to that watch for some reason. She told me that next time she preaches, she's going to get me back. So, honey, you will not be preaching for a long time. But anyway, I was looking at a watch, and a lady comes by. She said to me, "Hi, how are you?" Smiled at me. "Hi, how are you?" I said, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And she said, "Do you recognize me?" I said, "No." He said, "I was one of your students before, and I'm graduated and working and over there. You remember so-and-so, and they're at work and so on." I said, "Yeah, okay." He said, "I watch your TV show every week. Do you like it?" "Oh, yeah. I watch it all the time." So thank God for people who watch the program. So anyways, that's a little extra. You know, We live in a world where fear is dominating in a lot of areas. I mean, very careful. I mean, it comes very subtly in your life. Like, we talked about dread, which is a kind of a first stage of fear, is dread. I dread Mondays. I dread the first snowfalls in November. You know, that kind of thing. And it just comes up on you like that. But I used to have fear lots. And so never let fear decide your future. Because people avoid facing their fears and they don't get to where God wants them to go. Even when they know, listen to me, even when they know what God wants them to do, but fear stops them from going any further. They say, what if I fail? What if I don't get healed? What if I go up there and get prayer, and what if I don't get healed? And so they have all this disgusting fear in their minds, and they can't seem to get away from it. So never let fear decide your future. What people fear most in life is actually fear itself. I remember, thinking about this, that I had fear, for a long time, and all of a sudden the fear left me because I started to get confidence a little bit. And I was sitting in a meeting one time, an AA meeting, Jared. I just broke his anonymity. We won't put that on TV. But anyway, he doesn't mind. I don't mind. Who cares? I don't care who knows that I was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm born again, praise God. The Bible says, this is what you were. Now, if I go back out there, I'll be one. If I drink again, I'll be one. And so I don't want to be out there. And so I don't play with my life. So fear stops people. Jesus said, I give you peace. That's anything that would agitate your spirit or your mind, your body, and your life. It agitates you. Peace is like even fear, agitates. Some people are afraid to go to a movie theater or somewhere else because they won't be able to smoke. I can't go in there. They don't allow smoking in there. How long is that meeting? And so they're afraid of a lot of stuff. So when you're at peace, the kind of peace that God gives you, you're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of compulsions. You're not afraid of being tempted. Hallelujah. How many people know that you can be free? I knew that. I was a member of AA for many years. And I realized that reading the books and studying, I became a student of Alcoholics Anonymous. I studied all the books, the main books I needed to study. And I found out the man's secret. How he got free. But you understand this, that it tells us in those books that that program is only a beginning of a way of life. That you'll find a life of this out there. In fact, they got all the material basically from over here, see? Why not just go right to the book? I mean, there's more than one way to be sober. You don't have to go to AA to get sober. But I did. You don't have to. You can get sober right now. You don't have to go to a teen challenge to get sober. But you could. I'm not preventing anybody from going to teen challenge to get sober. You can go anywhere to get sober. You can come to church, come right to Jesus. I know people who come right to Jesus and got totally sober. Free. No, I'm not advocating or disrespecting Alcoholics Anonymous or AA. Now, I help people personally today. Right today, I will help you go to a meeting. I'll sit with you in a meeting. I'll do all that. I will go to a teen challenge. I'll bring you to teen challenge. I'll send you there. I'll put money in there. I'll help you get. God will use whatever it takes to get you well. Because God will meet you at the level of where your faith is at. How many people can say amen about that? Yeah? I'm telling you, you know, it's true. It's true nevertheless. Truth is truth. So, you know, we don't have to fear anything. Now, I begin to say about the spirit, soul, and body, what kind of a spirit exactly did God give you at the new birth? What kind of spirit did he give you? Did he give you a spirit that's all polluted with fear when you're born again? No. He says in 2 Timothy 1:7, I'm reading the New Living Translation, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we know, first of all, from that scripture, that fear has its origination in the spiritual aspect of our lives. And we saw from Genesis, it came out of a fear of death and dying, or what we call separation and loss. We saw also that in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 2, that all their lives that people have this fear of dying. And death is what they call a separation or loss. When people fear, is they afraid to lose something. They're afraid to lose their life, afraid to lose their husband or wife, afraid to lose their standing in life. They're afraid to lose jobs. They're afraid to lose money. But God says, I'll supply every one of your needs. I'll just go home right now, praise God. Amen. That's what it is right there. So God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. You know, cowardness. God does not want us to cower in life. He wants us to face life fearlessly. He wants us to straight out our shoulder and say, thank God I can face this and we can do this. He said, I've given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love and discipline, or the King James says, a sound mind. So when it comes to fear, the King James says, a sound mind. When it comes to fear, there's a problem with the mind. Amen. So I'll tell you something. If a kid is disturbed when they're very young, psychology tells us something happens to the brain when kids get abused sexually, fear, or something happens to them, and then something changes in their chemistry. Or when somebody has a traumatic event in their life called a trauma, a traumatic experience, like that happened to me a number of times as a kid. And a trauma hit my life. I remember when I found my mother on the side of the road. I don't know whether she was dead or alive. And I saw the ambulance and everything else. And every time I saw, you know, that, it was a, you know, fear would come. But we know that it affects the brain and so forth and so on. And, you know, people stop life. And all of a sudden, when this kicks in, fear comes. So we have to renew our minds. Psychology tells us we have to develop new, what do you call these, neutrons in the brain? Pathways, neuropathways in the brain, and they develop and they create new memories. But you have to face the old memory to make new ones. And God will take you through, take your hand in hand, and walk you through that and say, you see, that's happened to you, but I'm here with you. Trauma. I had traumatic experiences as a kid. Lots of them. Hey. I had them. When you're a kid, at 4 or 5 years old, and you wake up with all these crazy things going on in your home, people fighting people getting raped and all kinds of stuff. Everything happening. A kid shouldn't see those things. I was traumatized. And I said the worst year of my life was when I was 17 years old. I walked up to the LPH. I said, take me, lock me in. I can't live anymore. And I was sitting there in the hallway in the LPH. And, you know, later on I went back there. When in my early 20s, I became a social worker, so I worked there, and you know, it scared me working in there because I was afraid of people that had something with a disease of the mind. But how many people know you can get sick in the body as much as you can get sick in the mind? You know, when somebody goes and kills themselves out of their mind, people, you know, in my religion before, he said they're going to hell. That's not the way, that's not the truth. God, you know, understands all that. So don't cut them off right away. Praise God. Anyway, so God has not given you a spirit of fear. Say, I don't have a spirit of fear. So you have not. Look at Romans 8:15 as a coupled scripture with that. He says, so you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful. Notice that. For you have not received a spirit of bondage to fear again. That's the King James Version. Can you give me NLT? Oh, that's, is it turning? There it is. For you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. How many of you know it's a slave? It drives you to do things. You know, fear is irrational. I said fear is irrational. You can't think straight. You can't do things properly and right when you are fearful. I remember one guy, I was over in Texas. My wife and I was invited to preach for a pastor in Texas. And we drove up there from Oklahoma, it was a nice church. The first time I ever saw a church like that, a little church out in the country. It had everything, like TV lights, TV cameras. And we went there, and the guy says, man, I got all this food. We're waiting for that YK2 or 2K, whatever it was called at that time. Y2K? He said, yeah, we got food, you know, we got whatever, a click. We got everything. we just buried everything, and everything's going to shut down. I said, oh, thank you. But see, people, it drove people as mad, this guy mad to do all that. He's a pastor. Hey, man, some of you are probably doing some things that are irrational right now because of your fear. With all those margarine butters on cans on top of under your shelf over there, just in case something happens, you might need those margarine containers. Javix cans everywhere and pop cans, everything. You got socks that are so full of holes that just in case something war breaks out, you might need those extra socks. Huh? I mean, we got people who save all kinds of stuff. You look in their backyard, you say, man, that's grandpa's old car out there. Chuck wagon, I mean. Praise God. So we do have a mind problem. Romans 12:2 says we need to renew our mind. You see, when we get born again, we got a brand new spirit. And if you had problems with your mind or thinking before you were saved, you got to do something with that mind. Amen. You got to change your mind. Amen. Yeah. Thank God. You ever change your mind? You better. So, your mind is where fear is sometimes hanging out. I remember Brother Higgin one time told a story about a guy who had, he had some problems with fear and stuff and whatever. And he said he just saw something there in his mind sitting there, or he had some kind of a demon or something there. You know, if I could see any here. You know. But you see, don't be terrified. Some people say right away, what if I got one? What if? And the devil says, no, you don't have one. You got three of them. But you see, we have authority over all evil spirits. If you're a born again Christian, you have authority over every one of them. They like to intimidate you. They like to tell you you don't. They won't let you. In fact, they'll tell you they don't exist. He said, oh, we're not here. Oh, good. And then they start talking to you, they're scaring you again. You better not eat that. There's stuff in there. But anyway, you know, when we talk about fear, and we say, what is fear? You know, we use it, you know, fear, the acronym fear, we said false, is false expectations appearing real. You know, no matter if it's real or imagined, fear will affect you. It affects you if it's in your mind, your thought life. And your thought life affects your emotions, eh? And, you know, the dictionary says fear is a real, an agitating emotion, a gripping emotion of what makes you sense danger. And that's what it is, you know, you sense there's danger, a problem, a real big problem. What if a big problem happens that I can't handle? Well, listen, you're not alone. If you're with the Lord, you're not alone. Thank God that you're not alone. So, most fears are imaginary, or just in the mind, as we say. And when people say, you know, your fears are not real, they're just in the mind, well, they're still there. Even if it's imaginary, they're still there. You have to do something with them. You can't just say, I'm not going to fear. You can't just say, I'm not going to fear anymore. It doesn't work like that. You have to say, okay, you have to face and say, I know this fear about cancer. I know this fear about dying young. I know this fear about never having someone in my life. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking over here. Some people are afraid to get married or something. Huh? Some people are afraid. I'm just, you know, just talking. Like, you know, some people are afraid. Like, you know, what if you're afraid to die? You weren't afraid. You would be dead right now. And you, stay out of it. Some people are afraid of their own shadow. You know, I'm telling you, like, a lot of people are afraid of a lot of things. Why are you afraid for? You might make a mistake. What if you do make a mistake? Big deal. Face it again. So whether it's real or imagined, they're there. But we have to decide if God's word is true or not. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, he said, I will fear no evil. That means you have to make a decision that fear is not going to be the lifestyle that you live. You have to live, you're going to live a life that is fearless. You're going to make decisions. No matter what, I'm going to make decisions on the basis of God's word and God's word only. You see, I cannot predict if I make a decision what you will do. I can understand that God's word says something and I'm going to trust God's word. You know, I can't decide if you're going to do something against me or say something against me, but I can decide I'm not going to be bothered by it. I remember I was listening to Creflo Dollar yesterday. Some people are afraid their wife is going to cheat on them. Creflo Dollar is how many people know who I'm talking about? It's my cousin. So he's talking about, he's afraid. He said, I'm not afraid. I'm going to go preaching somewhere. My wife is going to, you know, cheat on me. See, there's a lot of people that have fears. There are a lot of fear, all kinds of fears. I mean, if we just dig them up right now, we could just bring them up and we find all kinds of them. They're irrational. I can't control what my wife does. But I put trust in God and trust in her. I trust her. I mean, she's gained my respect. We've gained respect to each other because we've been married for 30 years and we understand about trust. We can't violate. Like, you know, when we first were married, I didn't just go off and go have coffee with every woman. And she didn't just go off and say, I think I'll have coffee with Melvin. And she understood that. She was able to protect me, to build me up, and just to protect my you know, my manliness and my security. So we were able to build that for 30 years. Now we're not afraid. And so, you know, So we have to face things, right? And trust God. So God is with you. Isaiah 41:10, New Living Translation says, "Do not be afraid." Everybody said, "Do not be afraid." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid." What don't you understand about "do not be afraid"? Hello? He said, "Well, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm scared." We were watching a video. We're showing us a video clip of what is that show called again, Miss Anita? That show we showed at the college about that old man and his little kid and an old show. You remember that show? You don't remember that show? Okay. Let me tell you. Let me just whistle it for you. No, I can't whistle that good. But anyway, this guy, Don Knotts, he's like a police. Huh? Andy Griffith. Well, Andy Griffith, he put a man in jail, and the guy calls him and says, "I want to meet you. I got something I made for you." He's coming out of jail for 20 years or something. And the guy puts on the phone. "Oh, he's coming to town. He wants to see me." And so he assumed all this, so he got terrified and scared. And his little deputy, what's his name? John Don Knotts, you know, he's going to rally up the troops. He's the only deputy. So he rallies the one guy in the jail, the little fat guy. He's always the town drunk. He asks him, he says, "We're going to deputize you." The guy says, "Huh?" Because this killer guy supposedly is coming to town to kill our sheriff. "You're going to be a deputy." He said, "No, he doesn't want to." He asked him, do you want to be known as a yellow-bellied coward?" He said, "No, I don't mind." That's what some people are like. "No, I don't mind." So God is with us. He said, "I'm with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll hold you with my victorious right hand." That's God's word telling us right there. We can overcome any kind of fear. We must fear no enemy. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1 says, "When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and army greater than your own," greater than your own. The army you're facing is greater than you. Your trouble is greater than you. The cancer is greater than you in the natural. You got to be able to face it. You got to be looking at it with the word of God, with God with you. You got to face it. You cannot avoid fear. You cannot hide. You cannot run from it. You must face it. There is no other way around it. God says, "I want you to face it." God wants you to face the fear with his word, or with him there with you. You are not alone. And most people have mental illnesses and emotional disturbances because they have so much fear in their heart. Fear about everything in life. They're a bunch of cowards. They don't make decisions. Indecision has stopped them from enjoying the future. Sorry for spitting on you. Praise God. You're getting healed. It's good to preach in front of you. Even when it looks so terrible, you might be so defenseless right now. You might feel that way in bed at night. You're shivering. You have anxiety attacks. Your heart's pounding. You're just falling out of your bed, so to speak, and you're afraid. In fact, you get up at night thinking about all the financial burdens that you have. Plus, you got children problems, and your car is falling apart. And you need to go to the bathroom. I mean, all these things happen. And the devil tells you, "You're going to the bathroom so much because you might got some cancer." Eh? Have anybody been there besides me? Am I only one that has these kind of things following me around? Eh? I remember, you know, one night I came back home from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We was over there for a couple years. And I flew home. And a lot of times I was flying different places, going everywhere. And sometimes I'd forget where I was. Because I'd been traveling a lot before that. And so I traveled. I left my wife and children in Tulsa. And I flew to Minneapolis and flew over to Thunder Bay. In fact, kind of went around the country in North America for a bit there. We went over to Colorado, we had, you know, Chicago, and just bunny hop here and there. And so finally we got here, and we went to, I stayed with, I don't know if you know Oitzel, what's his name? I stayed with a fellow by the name of Oitzel, his last name, Danny. And in fact, his sister works in some place I work, I go to cut my hair. Anyway, I stayed there one night. I'd never stayed in this house ever before in my life. He showed me the room, and I'm tired, and I went to sleep that night, and I just slept solid, man, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know, it was maybe 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and I woke up, and I don't know, sometimes when you're tired, you just wake up, and you just wake up, right? So I woke up, and it was pitch black. I didn't know where I was. I thought I was in purgatory or something like that. I jumped out of bed. I didn't know where I was. My heart started pounding. Like, it just started to pound. And I jumped out of bed, and I hit the wall. Bang. I hit the wall. And I didn't know where I was, how to get out of this room. Started touching the walls and looking out there. And I finally found, I was finding myself in the hallway, and I opened the light. I'm standing there with my shorts on. I didn't know where I was. I was so frightened. Of course, none of you have ever been like that. Any of all my bad stories. So things might look bad today. Now, notice over here. We'll close out with this story. First Samuel 17, New Living Translation, because it's harder to read New King James. Let's close out after this. You know, God told those guys, those Israelites in 20 chapter Deuteronomy, when you face enemies, armies that are really stronger than you, I want you to understand this, do not be terrified. What did Jesus say in John 14, chapter 1, or verse 1 and verse 27? He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Do not. We read you a scripture earlier, Deuteronomy 27. Do not be afraid. That's the command. He said, Isaiah 41, I am with you. If you can get that word in your spirit, you'll never be afraid of those things again. But, Pastor, my problem is so unique. God forgot about me. Now, the Philistines mustered up their army for battle. How many people know the Philistines is a picture of the enemy, the devil, and his gang? It could be sickness, disease, whatever it is. Mustered their army for battle and camped between Long Lac and Geraldton. Wherever you are there, okay? So they travel, could be from Atacocan, or Jellicoe, right? Sackle Creek, or Perisson, Arrowland, Blind River. Wherever you were from, right? You know, it doesn't matter where it is. You know, there's fear, you know, it's there. So no matter what it is in your life, no, I want you to notice, the Bible says that the Goliath, a Philistine, a champion of Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks and faced the force of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. And just imagine, this guy is like 9 feet tall. He's bigger than Chara. I mean, you know how big Chara is with his skates on? You guys know what Chara is, right? And if you're just like a little guy like Marner, that's a huge guy. He wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat was male weight of 125 pounds. He was also wore a bronze leg armor, carried a bronze javelin in his shoulder. His shaft and spear was heavy as a thick as a weaver's beam, tipped up with an iron spearhead that weighed about 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am a Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul." Isn't that the way the devil tells you? He taunts you. You cannot do this. You know, I'm such a bad enemy. You know, I'm so bad. So he said, "Choose one of the men to come out here to fight me. If he kills me, then he'll be your slave. Then we will be your slave. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of the Israelites today. Send a man who will fight for me." And Saul and the Israelites, when they heard this, they were terrified, deeply, and shaken. They were listening to the enemy. They were listening. They were being moved by what they saw. They were allowing their emotions to take over their lives. But God was in the camp with them. God was right there, just like he's here, right here with you.
Hallelujah.
He's there right now with you. When you go home, he's going to be right there with you. And he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Everybody said, "I will not be afraid." Let's go ahead and stand. Glory to God. Did you get encouraged? Who got encouraged tonight? Who didn't get encouraged? Okay, Pastor Ken? Oh, just kidding. Hallelujah. We need to declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that we will do this like Jesus said. Do not be afraid. We will do like Moses said. When you find armies that are bigger, much greater than you, do not be afraid. We'll be like what Isaiah said. Do not fear anything. Do not be afraid. We're not going to be afraid. We're going to not allow fear to overtake us. We will not let fear take over our minds and lives. We make a commitment. We made a dedication that we're trusting you, Lord. We're trusting that this word will work in Thunder Bay. This word will work anywhere else in the city. It'll work in any situation. Whether we have a drug addict in our home, whether we have financial problems, whether we have someone out there on the street that we care for, we will not allow fear to hurt us. We will not have fear. Let's make a dedication right now. Thank you, Lord. Let's just say, thank you, Lord. I will not let fear enter my mind, enter my heart. I will not let fear control my decisions. My decisions are based on God's word. God's will is God's word. I find God's will in his word. He said, do not fear. So I will not be afraid. Thank you, Lord. From this day forward, I will not be afraid. Let's go ahead and thank him together. Father, we praise you. We thank you that we will not be afraid to make any decision. Thank you. You are so good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of that decision. I'm not going to be afraid of whatever someone else's decision. I'm not afraid of what their decision will be. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid about my job and finance. I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm not going to be afraid of what that family member said or what they're going to do. I release that to you, Lord Jesus. I release the care of it, the worry of it, to you. I'm not going to be afraid about my future. I have a good future. I have a bright future. My future looks better than my past. My future looks a whole lot better than my past. You said in the book of Job, my days are a whole lot better. They're a whole lot better in front of me. My worst days are behind me. My best days are ahead. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. I believe that you said in Ephesians 2 and 10 that my best days, I have good things coming to me. You prepared good things, a good plan, a good life, a happy life. You said you come to give me life, to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to be happy today. I make myself happy by focusing on your word. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I will make a dedication right now with you. Every eye closed right now. In the name of Jesus. If you're in this room right now, you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've never publicly said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to die for me on the cross. I believe that you went to hell for me and you rose the third day. I believe you're sitting at the right hand of the Father right now as my advocate. If you've never done that publicly, this is your opportunity to be saved today. Jesus said, if you deny me before the sinful generation, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. It's a small price to pay for your salvation. He died for you publicly, disgraced. The Bible said he didn't even look like a man. He died naked, beaten, bleeding on the cross. He said, if you deny me, that I suffered for you, then I can't do anything for you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if somebody in here, you've never done that, you've never made a public dedication of Jesus Christ, or you need to rededicate your life. If not living for Jesus, you don't go to church, you don't read your Bible, and you don't go to church consistently, and you've never joined a fellowship of people who worship Jesus, if that's you right now, you can come right now into the family of God and join and recommit yourself. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask somebody to raise their hand right now in a moment of time. If you're that person, I want you to raise your hand way up high right now. Don't be afraid, right up here. Don't be afraid. Anybody like that? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You've never done that before. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Don't let fear. Oh, what's somebody going to say about me? Oh, you're letting fear stop you right now. If that's you, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and if you fell away from God, you're not reading your Bible, you don't go to church, you never made a dedication to Jesus, if that's you, lift your hand up high. I'm looking now. If that's you, in the name of Jesus, thank you. If those people that lift their hands and should have lifted it in your hands, this is the time right now to come. Don't leave here without knowing that you're born again and let the devil dominate you and your mind. If that's you, I want you to get up out of your chair right now and stand right here in front of me. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Somebody, come on. Just get out of your chair. Don't be afraid. Come on. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing to fear but the boogeyman himself. All right. Father, I pray for those people who should have raised their hand, could have raised their hand, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for every person here as they leave tonight, they will not be afraid of snow or anything else as they travel home. They're not going to be afraid of losing anything. They're going to have a good night's sleep and just be so rested tomorrow. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right.